The information shared in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. We are not medical doctors. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider before making any changes to your diet, lifestyle, or wellness routine. The content of this podcast should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listening to this podcast does not establish a doctor-patient relationship. By tuning in, you acknowledge that any health decisions you make are your own responsibility. Take what resonates and always listen to your body.
Welcome to the Tula Ananda podcast, where we talk all things whole life living, blending Ayurveda, ancestral wisdom, and a modern approach to well-being. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Devin. We're here to help you bring balance, vitality, and a little bit more ease into your everyday life without the overwhelm.
Think of this as your go-to space for Ayurvedic insights, timeless traditions, and practical wellness tips, served up in a way that actually fits your life.
So grab your tea, get comfy, and let's explore how ancient wisdom and modern living can come together to help you feel your best. Welcome to Tula Ananda. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today we're diving into something that touches all of us, our relationship with food.
We'll explore how food shapes our health, emotions, and daily choices. We'll also look at society's expectations, appearance, diet culture, good versus bad foods, and how those messages can distort our connection to eating.
And most importantly, we'll talk about ways to reconnect with food in a positive, nourishing way at every stage of life. So this is something you and I talk about a lot. Our food relationships.
Yeah, for sure. So food is more than just fuel. It can also be related to things like culture, family, tradition, comfort, identity, and kind of going along with all that, even just like our memories, and it brings out just so much emotions are connected with food. Food is a big topic.
It is a big topic. It's often associated as a reward. Let's go have a, you know, we're going to have a party. Let's have delicious food. Oh, you graduated. Let's go out to dinner. You got an A on a test, you know. That's how it was in my house anyway. It was very much a reward. And because it's so intertwined with our lives, our relationship with food can either feel very supportive and joyful or stressful and full of guilt. And I think for a lot of us in our generation, we do have more of that kind of guilt association with food. Not all of us, but there was, a lot of the like clean the plate idea, and you can't leave the table until you finish your food. You know, all of those kind of connections that we have from our childhood, and not wanting to waste food. That's a big thing for me, the waste. I will eat it because I don't want to throw it away. Just a lot of emotional connections.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know growing up in my household, it was definitely one of the, like, clean your plate. You have to sit there, even if it was like an hour or 2 hours, until you're completely done. And you're right, that guilt that comes with that, you know, it's a lot. And many of us carry these experiences even into adulthood unconsciously without even realizing it.
Absolutely, yeah. And we have the diet culture too, as we're, you know, trying to figure out our connection with food, and now we're also associating it with, well, good, bad food, or, you know, diet mentality and things like that. And our world, I think we're shifting away from this now. I think it's a little less of an emphasis on appearance and in terms of the ideal body image, but it's still very very present, that concept of what healthy looks like, and the diet culture and telling us to be smaller or fitter or eating the right way is big right now. Clean eating, eating the perfect kind of nutrient balance. And it's just very, for one, overwhelming and confusing as, you know, a human being here. We just want to live.
Well, and I think that's what does get confusing is that there, and we know this with Ayurveda and have talked about this in some of our other podcasts, is that there's not a one size fits all. But I think a lot of times with diet culture and just stuff that we see out there, you know, we see that one thing works for one person. And so why shouldn't it work for us as well, you know, for everybody? And that's just not the way that things are. So our bodies are so different. And I just think, too, that social media just really adds to this whole expectation. And I think you're right that there is more body positivity out there, but I still think there's a lot of ingrained, you know, that ideal image. It's still out there. I know for us and like our generation growing up in the 90s, it was a really toxic time for body image. So even though things are maybe shifting, there still is, I think, that ingrained in a lot of us. We're going through perimenopause, menopause right now, and that has its own set of differences that happens with your body and your body image. And that still is just ingrained. As much as I'm aware of it, it still is ingrained, I think, in all of us. But yeah, that whole social media, you know, aspect that there's perfect meals that we all should eat, body image, wellness trends that are out there. Wellness trends are just exploding because we are, we have so much access to information, which can be good, but again, it can be too much. And what do you pick out of all these things? You know, it can make us feel like what we eat and how we look are never enough.
And then also going along with that social media thing, there's that and finding, you know, trying all these different things and trying to find something that fits for you, and then feeling like you failed when you see, oh, like thousands of people have succeeded eating this way, and then maybe you don't, and you're like, well, what's wrong with me? But really, there's nothing wrong with any of us. And this shame and guilt and confusion is just that there literally is no one way for anybody to eat.
Yeah.
What I eat is going to be different than from what you eat. And you and I eat pretty similar.
Yeah, I mean, balance looks really different for everyone, but I think even within our own diets that are similar, there probably are still some slight differences. Yeah. Like, I know, for example, you eat pickles all the time. I love pickles, but I don't eat them all the time. You know, there are still going to be some differences in, like, you know, what we have for breakfast and things like that. So, you know, health is really individual, which is why I love Ayurveda so much. It's more about each individual person and their own unique constitution. So I think that when we look at diet and food from an Ayurvedic standpoint, it can really clear up a lot of this confusion, guilt, all of these things. And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
It really does, and it's more about balance than calorie counting and all of these.
And what foods to eat.
Yeah, good versus bad food, and just balancing what you're eating. So let's talk about what happens when our relationship with food is not positive. Because this is, you know, I know you and I talk about this a lot, and I've shared with you my relationship is not necessarily bad with food, but it is things like I do feel like I need to clean my plate, and I'm not necessarily hungry at that point, but I do love some tasty food, and if it's good, I will definitely finish it. And growing up, we were not, you know, poor to the point that we didn't have food, but there were a lot of times when there was not a lot in the refrigerator. And so when we had those good things, I always felt like, well, we have to eat it all right now because it might not come back. And so for me, it's like trying to tell myself, you know, you're not, there's not going to be a point where you're not going to be nourished. You're going to be fed, and you don't have to consume all of this right now. And it's very hard because it's, you know, as a child, you just really, you're soaking up all of these ways to be, and it's just, hard to break that pattern now that I'm 46.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of this, too, could even be put into the category of even a little bit of generational trauma with food. Mm. Like, I know not that far along in my ancestry, you know, my great-grandparents, even my grandma, they grew up in Kentucky, and they were growing their own food. They didn't have a ton of money. And so there was this feeling of we need to eat when we have the abundance, and they canned and everything and got ready for winter. You know, that's only like a generation or two back for me. And so a lot of this does get passed down. You know, when my mom passed it down to me, even though she didn't have as much of that experience, her mom told her that, and it just keeps getting passed down the line. But Ayurveda will tell us, you know, eat until you feel satisfied. Yes. And that's it, you know?
Eat until the...
not even
the,
full.
The first burp, right?
The first burp,
like two-thirds full. And for a lot of people, full means overfilled. Like, you get to that point where you feel the food backing up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, now I'm full. But it's actually not.
Yeah.
In Ayurveda, it is, you know, it's your stomach is two-thirds full. There's still air in your stomach.
That's why I don't even like the word full anymore.
Yeah.
For me, it really comes down to satisfied. Like,
satisfied,
are you nourished? Are you, you know, there's a point after that where it is, it's too much. And we can have too much of a good thing, you know.
Definitely.
For sure. So physically, what happens to the body when we do eat in patterns that maybe aren't the most healthy? It can lead to cycles of restriction, or on the flip side of that, overeating. And then, you know, you can also experience things because of this, like digestive issues. And even these digestive issues might not necessarily be the restriction or the overeating, but even just how you're eating your food. You know, are you eating more slowly, mindfully, really?
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
If you're eating, particularly if you're eating something that is maybe on what's considered the bad list, ice cream, cake, French fries, things that we might not necessarily consider healthy. How you think about it is also impacting how your digestion is going to process it. So that's...
Yeah. So if you're eating something that, you know, you want to eat because you get that reward or whatever it is, dopamine or, you know, just tastes good or whatever, and you feel bad about it, that has a negative impact on top of just that it is whatever is in the food.
Right.
Yeah. So, but also we can experience things in addition to these digestive issues, like nutrient imbalances and things like that.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah, the nutrient, which is what the goal is. We just want our nourishment. And then mentally it creates stress and anxiety and that constant inner dialogue about food. And I know this is true for a lot of women where when you're going out, you're actually thinking about, like, what are the food options going to be and how am I going to navigate that? Maybe if I'm on a diet or, you know, whatever. And so that inner dialogue, going back to the digestive and the nutrient imbalances, that all impacts everything.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that Ayurveda teaches us too, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this in this conversation, is that some of the things that we think of as being healthy, you know, like if you are thinking, oh, it's lunchtime, and you're trying to do your best to eat healthy, some of the things that we consider healthy, like salads and things like that, might not for all dosha types actually be the most balancing option, which gets really interesting. And the thing is, though, if you know what the season is and what your dosha is, it makes it really simple with Ayurveda.
It really does.
Yeah. But when we do overall rebuild a healthier relationship with our food, food becomes energizing for us, grounding, and it can be really supportive for our overall well-being. And again, I think it just goes back to that balance.
It really is. When we talk about balance all the time, like, it really is.
Yeah.
It's the key to everything, is just being balanced.
Once you know how to get there, that's the thing, because we don't always know how to find balance. But Ayurveda, luckily, has a blueprint.
Luckily, we've got the key to the success in life. I always feel like it's like the, you know, it's the things that we used to pass down from generation to generation, like we did with the canning, and like how do you live? Ayurveda really is the science of living,
yeah,
and how we balance things. And so when we're trying to come to a healthier relationship with food and reconnecting that in that way, we want to think about being mindful when we're eating, and so really paying attention to slowing down. And this really does impact how your body actually absorbs and digests the food that you eat. Even if you just sit down and you, you know, if it's in your practice to say like a prayer or something, that act of slowing the body down and focusing the mind on something actually preps your body for that digestive process. And then when you're thinking about what you're eating, your body is already also getting ready to digest that food. And so if we're doing that instead of maybe standing at a counter while we're maybe on the way out the door or eating in the car, thinking about where we're going.
Or looking at your phone.
Or looking at your phone or watching a TV show. Mm-hmm. We don't really think about how that impacts our digestion, but it really does. And when you are mindfully eating, you'll feel that fullness versus or being satisfied mm-hmm. versus maybe not even recognizing how much you've eaten because mm-hmm. you're distracted.
Well, because you're just more connected with the experience of taking in food. And when you're more connected, it's more of an embodied experience. So you're going to get those signals. Right. Where otherwise, you know,
you don't get them.
Yeah. And I am guilty of this. Sometimes I'll look at my phone while I'm eating and I have to, you know, stop myself. But it's like you're not connected when you're doing more than one thing while you're eating. And that really goes for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this thing about multitasking, you know, in our, especially in our culture, you know, doing more is better.
And
the truth is that you can't really do two, your brain has to go back and forth. It can't really do two things at one time. Not really. It has to bounce back and forth.
You might feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your nervous system is taking the hit when you're doing that.
And I think a lot of the issues that we see, not just with food, but just stress in general, is because we're not having a fully connected, embodied experience, focusing on one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. Staying present.
Staying present. Yeah. Mindful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we can try to do just to help to reconnect with a positive relationship around food is, you know, getting rid, and you kind of mentioned this before, but getting rid of some of those good and bad labels. Food is natural. We need it. It's more about how you feel that matters. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, that there are some conscious decisions that can be made along the way. But overall, like, if you're going to treat yourself to ice cream one evening or whatever, like, you know, that's fine.
Yeah,
you
know, do it with a smile on your face and enjoy it. Because if you're going to eat it, you're going to eat it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't serve you any purpose to feel guilty about it.
No.
It just makes you sad.
No. And we have these things for a reason, you know, like, you know, we've talked about this in other podcasts, but there's the 80-20 in Ayurveda. 80% of the time, try to do what creates balance. Eat those whole foods, seasonal foods. And then 20% of the time, you know, is for fun, pleasure, things that, you know, maybe are outside of that 80%, and that's okay. We're humans.
Yes, we are humans, and we are meant to enjoy our experience here.
For sure.
And this is something I'm sure you talk about with your clients. I talk about it a lot with my clients, is that, you know, when you're aware of what your dosha is and what season you're in, and then you look at, okay, so let's say I ate a baked potato loaded with cheese and sour cream and chives, and it was delicious.
Sounds really good.
It does sound good, doesn't it? And then, but you know, maybe eating that whole giant baked potato for my kapha, not the best choice that I could make. But rather than look at that as saying, oh, you know, I shouldn't have eaten that whole thing, or, you know, I'm going to pay for that later, which are some of the things that we associate with that, or I'm going to gain weight, whatever. just saying, okay, I ate a large meal, I consumed a lot of energy, and now my next meal, I need to balance that out. So that Ayurvedic thing is like, okay, what did I just do? How can I balance that?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're doing that give and take and we're trying to maintain that balance, you know, there's no reason that you can't have whatever food
mm-hmm.
you want. You know, I think that's the beautiful thing about Ayurveda is that it's not restriction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being mindful.
Yeah. The other piece with that too, that I think is interesting, is that we are wired with evolution to want to feel pleasure, you know, dopamine, mm-hmm. things like that get released when we eat food. So if you are eating something like a baked potato, ice cream, whatever it is, fill in the blank for whatever your thing is, the more that you can enjoy it in that moment and you're allowing your body to enjoy those pleasure signals that you're getting,
yes.
then you may not feel like you need another hit later. You know, it's kind
right?
of like a drug. You know, a lot of what of food is not completely, you know, from like an evolutionary standpoint within our control. But if we are mindful, and when we do have those moments where maybe we do feel like we're going off the track a little bit, enjoy it. Because
yeah.
the more that you can enjoy it and you can allow yourself to get those, the pleasure that comes with that, then maybe you won't feel like you need it again
yes.
right away.
And you'll actually digest it better,
mm-hmm.
too.
So
yeah.
many reasons why
yeah.
it's good.
Yeah, that's a good point. And listening to your body and noticing how different foods affect your mood, because that's a good point. Whatever nutrients, macronutrients, micronutrients that you're taking in, they are going to impact the type of neurotransmitters in your brain and your serotonin, dopamine, and whether or not they give you energy. And if I eat a baked potato every day, while that's delicious and has some nutrient value, I'm probably going to start to get tired
mm-hmm.
if I don't balance
yeah.
that out and pay attention to how it's impacting my body.
Mm-hmm. And different foods do affect us each differently. So, like, I might be able to eat something every day. Like peanut butter is an example. I can pretty much have peanut butter every morning in my yogurt. Doesn't mean I always do, but I can. I can get away with it and feel pretty good. But, you know, my daughter, for example, she's allergic to peanut butter.
Yeah.
So, you know, but even with putting allergies aside, people have intolerances.
Mm-hmm.
Some foods just make people not feel so good.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you're allergic, but maybe it just doesn't make you feel good.
Just doesn't fit with your dosha.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there definitely is some autonomy too that can be explored with food. You know, we've already talked about that joyful eating, just allow comfort foods without the guilt, and also just being flexible. So, you know, it's not about being perfect. It's just about patterns over time. I think, again, going back to that 80-20 thing, you know, you don't have to be perfect with every single meal, but, you know, allowing yourself some flexibility and not trying to be perfect or fit yourself into a one-size-fits-all box, because that's not how diet is for
no.
people.
Yeah. And reconnection is about trusting your body and honoring your needs and letting the food be nourishment and enjoyable versus associating it with those other labels.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it be food.
Mm-hmm. So just some things when we're thinking about eating well through life stages, because we've sort of talked about how that can be different for individuals, but also how does this look different throughout life stages, because it definitely changes for a lot of people. So, you know, what you ate when you were younger might not be the same, you know, as when you're in midlife or even older.
Yeah, thinking about being a child, a teen, an adult, pregnancy, menopause, aging, we have all these unique needs, and also our emotional connections to food change, as well as our needs. And so thinking about, you know, as a kid, you're growing your body and your bones and your brain,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely different than where we're at in a perimenopause state, where we don't need all the same kind of building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
We're not building, well, we might be building muscle.
Yeah. A lot of it's maintenance at our stage, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you know, Yeah, for adults, you know, we have to think about things like busy schedules, stress, and all those dieting messages. When you get into like later years and your digestion will change even more, I'm not there yet, but I have heard that, you know, you feel full a lot quicker. That's mm-hmm. that's one thing I've heard. Your meal times might shift. Your overall energy balance might shift, and, you know, you may not have that overall same feeling of joy in foods that you had before.
Yeah, so, as your taste buds shift mm-hmm. as you get older, too. So the things, mm-hmm. may genuinely taste different.
Yeah. So I just think that at every stage, you know, the goal is still the same, just trying to eat in a way that supports overall balance, health, and happiness.
I agree. It's also important to point out that our needs, like we've said, are really unique. Even as we move through all those stages, child, teen, adult, what's healthy for me is not going to be the same as what's healthy for you, and it's not going to be the same as our listeners, because we each have that unique energetic pattern. And so we're balancing energy, right? We take in the food, it becomes energy, we use it to go out into the world. And so we want to maintain that energetic balance. And this is one of the main things that Devin and I work on, that you and I work on, when we're creating and patterns and are looking at eating patterns of our clients and finding out what works for you, not what works for everyone, because we're never going to fit in the same box. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, just you got to let that go. Maybe something worked for one person. You'll hear these success stories, especially on social media. But, you know, if you try it out, you're not getting the results, it's probably just not the right thing for your body. And I think it's also important to point out that some of these diets, trends that are out there are not healthy for most people. So I think we really need to be cautious when we, you know, are looking at some of these things that are out there.
We go through a lot of trends too. We've been through like what carbs were good. You're supposed to eat high carb and then no carb, high fat. Protein is big right now. Fiber maxing, mm-hmm. which fiber, I think, maybe the only thing you can mm-hmm. not get enough mm-hmm. of.
It's like we tend to pick one aspect of what a healthy diet is yes. with these trends and really hyper-focus on that when you need all of it, you know, and that's what Ayurveda will teach you, is you need the protein, you need the fats, you need the carbs to some extent. Maybe some of us need more or less. Life stage mm-hmm. is important with that, but you know, you need all those things. And when we do these restrictive things and we're just hyper-focusing on one thing, we're just creating imbalances in other ways. Yeah. And it's not helping to have a healthy relationship with food overall yeah. when we approach it like that.
Absolutely. And it's not going to be beneficial to your gut or your digestion mm-hmm. to be restrictive like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
And I know today with this conversation, we're not diving in depth with the doshas, the constitutions. We've done that in some of our other podcasts. So if you're listening to this and you're still kind of curious, just know today we're kind of just talking more about the overall relationship with food. But you can learn more from some of our other podcasts about the different doshas. I also still highly recommend booking like a consultation with an Ayurvedic health counselor. It could be me or Elizabeth or someone else, you know, because really, once you know that, that will really help to answer a lot of questions and confusion about what to eat. And I know I've said this before, but really, if nothing else, eat with the seasons. Eat whole foods. Give yourself that grace, though, the 20%. But to the best of your ability, if you eat, you know, a variety of whole foods, you'll be getting those different nutrients. And that's really the best thing you can do, is eat seasonally and eat whole foods.
And it makes meal planning a lot easier when you're when you're not looking at all of the choices. I'm just going to eat with the season. Yeah. So much easier. Well, we can do a whole podcast on trying to decide what's for dinner.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should sometime. But it can be really confusing when you go to the grocery store and you see tomatoes in the wintertime and you see watermelon in the wintertime and you see, you know, winter squashes in the summertime. You know, there's like this overabundance of selection, which is can be nice in some ways,
yeah,
but it does disconnect us from what is really seasonally available, and it adds to that confusion what we should eat.
It makes it just that much harder to make the decision of what am I going to consume today. Yeah,
it really is simple when you know what is seasonally available. So get a CSA. I think we've said that before too.
Yes.
Get, you know, or look if you don't have the ability to get a CSA. You know, then go to the farmers markets or, you know, look up what is normally available seasonally where you live, whatever time of year it is, and that will tell you really what you should be eating.
Yeah. If you can also, you mentioned the doshas, you can go on our website and there is a dosha quiz that you can take to get an idea. And there's information on the website too about that. But yeah, like you said, the best way to do it is to get a consultation and figure out really what you are. Our relationship with food is, it's a journey and it's a lifelong thing. We're not... you know, we get to do this our whole lives and we get to figure out our connection with food. And it's not about perfection, but just like we've been saying, feeling nourished and energized and comfortable in the choices that you make and taking control away from society and the expectations and giving it back to yourself to just be nourished.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And when we can let go of rigid expectations and diet culture pressures, we open space for food to be what it truly is meant to be, all about connection, nourishment, and joy.
Thanks for listening today. If this episode resonated with you, share it with a friend or leave us a review. We would love to have your feedback and know what you want to hear about. And remember, you deserve to feel good in your body and in your relationship with food.